Toyota Trucks presents the Cycle World International Motorcycle Show this Friday through Sunday at the Dallas Convention Center. Tickets available at www.motorcycleshows.com or at the door. Brought to you by Motorcycle Grego and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Dan McDowell will be at Circuit City in Hearst, Pipeline at 8:20 tomorrow from 5 until 7. Register to win ticket t-shirts, Cowboys training camp shirts. It's their new grand opening of the Circuit City out there. He'll have a couple of very foxy ticket chicks on hand for you to look at. So check them out. Circuit City and Hearst, Pipeline and Loop 820. Well, joining us in here in the studio now, in a way I'm very, very extremely pleased to tell everyone, is not the well-known actor Joe Montana, but the great quarterback Joe Montana, the former 49ers great, the former Notre Dame great. How you doing?
Good. I like that applause. Where'd that come from?
Studio audience.
Yeah, we're giving it up for you, man. Now, blood pressure brings you down our way, huh?
Yeah. Actually, I as surprised as you are, most likely, when I found out I had it.
You got high blood pressure?
Yeah, I found out about 2 years ago, and it was one of those things where I just went in for the normal checkup with my doctor, and I was feeling fine. And from the year before, I was fine. And when I got there this year, I was just trying to avoid thinking about the glove, and that was it. I wanted to get the heck out of there. And next thing I know is my doctor, she sent me to a cardiologist, because my blood pressure was extremely high. And
you had no idea?
I had no idea. The thing about this disease is there's no symptoms. And usually, as they say, your first symptom is when you have a stroke. Mm-hmm. And they call it the silent killer because
right. There
is no symptoms. And I felt great. I felt fine. But I literally was as shocked as anyone else to find out about it. Yet my mother had it. Her two brothers have it. And my grandfather had passed away at age 54 from it, from heart disease. So it was in front of me. I just was one of those typical guys, blind to athlete, saying, you know, nothing's going to hurt me. I'm not going to get sick. I'm not going to get hurt. And little did I know or expect this to come about.
Well, you look the same. I mean, you probably hadn't put on more than 5 pounds since your playing days. So you look healthy.
Well, I felt like I was doing enough. You know, I cut back my exercise routine a little bit. The neat thing about this campaign and the reason I got involved was it had affected me directly and my family. And it came about 8 months or so after I had found out. And I had gone through exactly what they were talking about. And where the campaign is really all about getting out and starting a dialogue with your doctor. Because that's where you just got to find out whether you have it or not. And it's as simple as getting your blood pressure taken. And once you do that, then if you have it, how we started was you start looking at your exercise routine, which I had cut back some since I had retired. Eating, I was junk food junkie. I love all the bad stuff for you on the road, traveling. Give me the bag of potato chips, the cheeseburger, whatever. I love it all. So
you had to make some changes there, too.
I made some changes in there, but it's not that you cut everything out. It's just do things in moderation.
Right.
And I've learned to live with that, and I actually don't really recognize that I've changed my diet because I haven't changed a whole lot of it. And the other is getting on a medication that's right for you. And, you know, typically you'll go through some medication changes. I started on one that didn't work and ended up on one that's a combination of two medicines called Latrell that significantly lowered my blood pressure and got it under control along with, and then the diet and the exercise help keep it there and maintain that. And so it's been a kind of strange couple of years for me getting used to that, but...
And this all been like in a couple years?
Yeah, it's been within about 2 year period. And the thing about it is what's so nice and unique about this is that this disease, there's 65 million Americans with it, 1 in 3 that have high blood pressure. But you can make changes and have it affect you, you know, almost instantly by getting this dialogue started. And to be able to see the results this quick, you know, when you're doing this kind of work, really is gratifying to you in the end because you hear people coming up to you in the airport. I have a friend of mine who started a company, and as a limo company, I said, well, okay, whenever I need, I'll take I'll take and just try to help keep you business. What happens is, he says, why? He heard that I was doing this, so he went and got his blood pressure checked, and sure enough, it was high. And he ended up getting it straightened out, and he's, well, thanks, I would have never done that if it wasn't for you. So it's great to be able to see people can make a difference and make it quickly that way.
Now, there's a website, www.healthybp.com, right?
Yeah, and for the non-tech people, 800 number, 866-556-3866.
And what would one find when one goes to the website?
It will get you started taking a look at some of the things you should be doing. You know, maybe some dialogue, maybe some tips that you should be talking to your doctor about, and things to help you get started on that, making sure you're eating correctly, your diet is right, your nutrition, and also your exercise routine, and the type of things that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it on both the website and the 800 number.
Are you currently on Latrell right now?
Yes, I am.
That's what I take, too.
Yeah.
Take that also. So
it's been great for me.
Once you get the dosage right.
Yeah, because, you know, we were talking about this earlier, and my doctor was really cautious, and I thought she'd give me a normal dose, and it really was a half dose, and it started to move a little bit, when I first started, I said, yeah, when I first got on it, once I doubled the dose, I was fine, and they said once I told them after, because I had started with the campaign after that, and they said, no, that's the normal dose you're taking.
Yeah.
Your doctor just must have wanted to be extra cautious.
Yeah,
about
I was just the opposite.
Great.
I took the normal, and I had to cut it in half.
That's great.
I was just so sluggish.
So that means I'm double as bad as you.
believe me, you're a lot more than double greater than me, that's for sure.
What does your exercise routine consist of?
Well, right now, I because of my knee, one of my knees is bone to bone, I'm kind of stuck to the treadmill, the stationary bike, or the Stairmaster, and I try to get in, if I'm late for somewhere, I try to get in 30 minutes at the minimum, but most of the time I'm 45 to an hour, and the other day, like yesterday, I had nothing to do, so I was an hour and a half on cardio, and I'll switch between those three things and watch a movie or whatever, and then I get about 3 days, maybe sometimes 4 days of light lifting in a week at the same time, but that's only because I feel comfortable at those levels, and I know that it takes me that much to get that work. Sometimes it won't. That's not the kind of exercise we're talking about in changing your exercise routine when we talk about this program. It's a lot simpler.
What are we talking about then?
Well, they're trying to get you to find some way to just be moving for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And sometimes they say it's as simple as, you know, if you're on the 10th floor, don't take the elevator. Just walk up 10
right.
flights of steps, or find a way to park your car further away and walk to the office.
Right.
Just doing simple things of that nature can increase your activity level.
What are things like for you when you come to this part of the world? Because we were talking before we went on that in your football playing days, you dealt teams in this part of the world their fair share of misery over the years. How do people treat you in this part of the world?
Actually, it's all been really positive. And it's fun to come here. I've always had a lot of respect for the teams that we played down here. And, you know, I grew up, my cousin was a Cowboy fan, and from day one, he won't admit it, but growing up outside of Pittsburgh. So I grew up a Steeler fan, and I've always had tremendous respect for the team. The high school sports around in this state are tremendous also. So it's fun to be able to come down, and you almost treat it like not a brother or a relative, because you hear so much about it. It used to be Pennsylvania and Texas played.
Right, and that big 33 game or what it was.
Yeah, and so I'd heard a lot about it, and so I always keep an eye on it, and it's nice to see to be able to come down. When you come into the state, you're playing very respectable, if not the best teams out there.
And when you talk about legendary games, you're involved in, when we talk about Texas football, in probably two of the most of all time, of course, the catch, which people around here will never forgive you for that, no matter what. But the other one, was, I think, one of the most remarkable performances ever, was the Cotton Bowl against Houston, where you came out of the sick bay at halftime and just rallied the team. What, you guys were 21 down?
It was, I can't remember, 34 to 10 or something like that.
It was
somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, the game was going a particular way. That's for sure.
It was an unwinnable game and very raw Texas-like conditions.
Well, that was probably the coldest game in my life. Even going to school in South Bend, That was probably the worst weather I've ever played in that day. I think there were more people sitting outside the stadium in their RVs watching on TV than were in the stadium.
Was it icy? Was it icy?
The night before, they had the worst ice storm that I've ever seen here. I don't ever remember a bad weather day quite like that.
You know, and there was talk about not even playing that game.
Yeah, there were 69 points scored, and the wind was blowing so hard that of those 69 points, two touchdowns were scored against the wind, and one of them was a punt block, and the other one was just on a bad punt that ended up having good field position. Other than that, you have all those points scored, and we got lucky because we had the fourth quarter with the wind. Otherwise, it would have been a disaster.
There wasn't a lot of luck involved in that. End of that, wow.
They had the game on the other day, and I was watching it with my son just happened to turn it on, and he was watching the end of it, and I sat there. I tried to give the game away a few times.
Were you just in a daze out there that day? Because, you know, the legend has it that you were, you know, like they had to give you fluids at halftime and give you stuff to warm up and whatnot.
Well, when it's cold, I try not to go from the field to the heater.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so cold, I sprinted. It was third down, I had to get off the field. I ran right to the heater. And it gave me hypothermia, where my body temperature, because when you go back out there, I'm always twice as cold when I go from the heater back to the cold. And so I ended up having hypothermia, and they really were what they were giving me. And whenever you play in a cold weather game, there's always some kind of chicken broth or beef broth in there.
Right.
And they were just feeding me warm chicken broth to heat my core temperature back up to normal before they let me go back out on the field. Because I couldn't quit. At halftime, I just had the shakes. I couldn't stop shaking.
Were you more excited about the win or the fact that the game was over?
I was more excited when it was over.
What an honest answer.
You, if you go back and watch the end of it, I tried to give it away a couple times there in the fourth quarter throughout where I thought that I had done it.
You mentioned that how old is your son now?
I have two. One's 15, one's 12.
Okay, so they pretty much know what's going on. But while you were playing and winning then, of course, they weren't around. How is that, watching a game like that where they watch it with their dad and seeing him as a very young guy? Did they ask you a lot of questions or you just brag or what?
No, they. I usually don't talk much through the game, and they'll have a few questions. And then my youngest one's a lot more inquisitive than the older one. The older one, just got the perfect they both have great personalities for a quarterback. One's really intense and into it. The other's just laid back. Whatever happens, happens. And he's forgotten the last play, whether it was good or bad, before he takes the next snap. And one will ask one or two questions. The other one will just drill you. So you get it from both sides.
So they're both quarterbacks playing?
The oldest one is playing quarterback and wide receiver. The young one's playing quarterback. He's a linebacker. He returns punts, kickoffs. He never comes off the field, the other one.
Now, do you have all of your old games? Because if I had those games at my, you know, if I played in all those big games, I'd certainly have them at my house, being an egotistical freak that I am. But do you, like, have those laying around where the kids can watch them at their disposal?
No, not really. We have them stored away, and every now and then, sometimes my wife will pull one out and show the kids a game. And the colors look kind of funny on the game. I was telling someone the other day, I saw the catch game, and I used to think that it was vibrant color back then, but it looks like it's about 50 years old in the color scheme of things.
Guarantee after that pass was completed, it was blue around here for a while.
It sure was. Tell you what, let's take a break here and talk a little bit about that. Great Joe Montana with us here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket, and we'll have more with Joe right after this.
KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTBK Sherman-Denison, KTDK Sanger. Wake up with the Musers, Junior, Jub-Jub, and the Great Gordo's Observation Deck tomorrow morning at 6:30 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
It is 5:55. This is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You're listening to The Hardline. We are very, very pleased to have Joe Montana here with us this evening. Now, Joe is here for high blood pressure, which has become an issue in his life over the last couple years. And there's a website for you to go to if this is a problem for you, or even if it's not, it may be a problem for you and you don't even know about it. www.healthybp.com. There's also an 800 number, which I don't have in front of me here.
866-556-3866.
Check it out, boys. because it is the silent killer. It can sneak up on you. All right, we were talking a little bit about the your days with the 49ers, and of course, the game that comes to mind for all of us is the catch game. It's, you know, everybody knows about that play. It was the play that turned the game, but regardless of all that, regardless of just that, that was a just a wonderful football game all day long. I mean, it was just really exciting, very competitive all the way through.
Well, even after that play, it was still competitive.
Yeah, it was.
If it wasn't for Eric Wright.
Right.
Making a tackle by the back of the shoulder pads, it would have been a different story.
Yeah, I wonder if everyone, let's say that Pearson scores on that play and goes 80 yards or whatever it is, if people would even remember that play, the Joe to Dwight Clark play.
Oh, you knew that play right off the bat.
Yeah. Hey, you were all over it, weren't you? Hey, around here, that play is never going to. So why don't you go ahead and set the record straight? You were trying to throw that ball away, right?
Unfortunately, I was. I didn't think the ball was that high when I let it go. In fact, we had an equipment manager who'd been there forever that used to just, he used to keep me laughing. He had some great old sayings. And when I came off the field, because I got knocked down, he said, "Boy, your buddy saved your ass that time." I said, "What are you talking about, Chico?" He goes, "He jumped out of the stadium to catch that." I go, "He did not." I said, "He's my roommate. I know. He's white. He can't jump." I didn't believe that he jumped that high until I saw the replay after the game was over in the locker room. And it, you know, I always tell people, you know, it's one of those things where you take the ball, like a roll up a piece of paper, and you throw it towards the trash can, and you most of the time you know where it's going to go, high or low. And when I let it go, the ball, I thought it was arm's length above his head. That's why I was arguing with Chico about it. And I was shocked when I saw how high it was and how high he jumped. And so, but good for him. Glad he caught it.
It's kind of amazing that you had to throw it over Too Tall Jones. I mean, he was right there in your face, and he's not a short guy himself.
No, huh? And, you know, he's actually the second receiver on that play, and Bill made us practice this. We had never thrown the ball to the second receiver, and we used the play a lot. And, you know, we'd scored earlier in the game actually on the same play. But this time, Freddie Solomon had fallen down, and so I didn't have a choice but to wait on Dwight. And it took a little longer than I expected. Maybe he was slow, too, at my health. But I don't think he was expecting me to have to throw the ball to him either. So I had to put the ball up over a little higher than I wanted when I released it. But it still, I thought I threw it soft enough that it was coming back down.
Who was favored in that game? Do you remember? I mean, even though you guys were playing at home, were the Cowboys still favored? Because you guys were horrible like 2 years prior to that.
Yeah,
this is like your coming out party.
We had already beat the Cowboys once that year.
Oh, you had?
Yeah, early in the year.
And pretty bad, too,
yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah, so I think we may have been favored. If not, it was pretty close. But I don't recall that part of it.
Is there anything about that game that people, like, don't know that sticks with you?
What happens is that people think that we threw that ball all the way down the field. To get into that position, two things. One, we ran the ball most of the way.
Right.
And I shouldn't have had to throw the catch if I'd hit a wide-open Freddie Solomon the play before. He was open by, there wasn't anybody within 5 yards of him and would have scored easily because I think he was either in the end zone or right on the one and no one around him.
What happened on that? Did you just miss him?
I overthrew him by about 3 feet. So I was just happy I had another chance to redeem myself.
Do people talk to you as much about that game, the catch game, as they do your Super Bowl wins?
More than any other game.
Really?
Yeah, more than any other game, by far.
Because all your Super Bowl wins outside of that first one were pretty much blowouts, weren't they? Well, no, that's the other Cincinnati game too, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we're noticing you're not wearing any Super Bowl jewelry, are you?
No. I keep them in the safe because, you know, that you wear them on your right hand, or I do, and when you shake hands, well, those things hurt like heck. they leave imprints on your hand. So, and I'm always taking it off, whether you're working out, and I just know I'd leave it somewhere, so it's not worth it.
Is the John Candy story, speaking of the Cincinnati
Super Bowl?
That's
what I wanted to ask, because I talked to Earl Cooper about this one time, and he said that in the Super Bowl, when against Cincinnati, I think it was in New Orleans, correct? The Super Bowl in...
It was...
That was Cincinnati. Tampa, wasn't it?
Yeah, Cincinnati was in Tampa.
Yeah.
No, not Tampa. It was in Miami.
Right. And you saw John Candy, I mean, right before you guys drove the ball down for the winning score, and you saw John Candy on the sideline, and you guys were talking about John Candy in the huddle?
Well, there's a offensive tackle, Harris Barton, who played right tackle, was always, he's always into people watching.
Yeah.
Who's at this game? You see so-and-so, but, and he's also the most uptight player. So he would stand in this position like a soldier straight up and down. You know, and TV timeouts are then it got to be 7-8 minutes long, maybe longer. I'd already been to the sideline once or twice, and I'd come back out, and just as guys were standing there, there's a natural space between the shoulder pads, and he just happened to be framed between these two guys' shoulder pads on the sideline, and he was eating popcorn or something, and I figured Harris would be the only one that he would appreciate this, right? And then when I got over to him, I told him over there, and he just kind of looked over the sideline, didn't move his body, and looked back at me like, why are you telling me this now?
You got about 2.5 minutes to go and 95 yards?
Yeah, that's a long time. We only needed a field goal. You know? So,
what'd you tell him? Just, hey, man, I just thought you might like to know.
Yeah, I said, well, you know, you're always talking about people. I figured you'd like to see John Candy.
Joe Montana here with us. It's been great having you up here today.
I appreciate the time. Thank you.
And for the high blood pressure website, once again, it is healthybp.com, www.healthybp.com.
Yep.
And what's the number?
866-556-3866.
All right. If you think you've got an issue with it, then get on that website, give that number a call, and get it straightened out.
Yes.
I mean, Grego knows.
Yeah.
That's great.
Way to do that. A
fellow companion in the room, so that means there's four more people outside the room.
Yeah, somebody up here's got it. So yeah. Hopefully they know about it.
All right, very good, Joe. Really been great having you up here. We appreciate it, man.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
This is Joe Montana joining us here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. All right, coming up next, Community Quick Hits.
Right.